Thank you, Pastor Don. Thank you, Kathy. Good evening. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1 tonight. We've been spending time in the first chapter of Mark, and hopefully, God willing, we will close it out this evening. Mark, in his inspired writing, relates at the end of chapter 1 an encounter that Jesus has with a leper. And we are going to take a close look at this passage tonight. You may remember the last time we were in Mark, we were looking at Jesus and his healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus and those with him left the synagogue where Jesus had been teaching as well as preaching with authority, and they go to Simon Peter's house. Jesus is told about the sick woman, bedridden and burning up with fever. Jesus goes to her, reaches down, and pulls her up, and she is well, so much so that she serves them. We spoke about how Jesus used the miracles he performed to establish that he was in fact the Son of God. He had the power and the authority to save, and the reason he came was to spread the good news of the gospel, God's answer to mankind's sin. We pick up in verse 40 with a leper coming up to Jesus. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he, Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testament to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Mark 1, 40 through 45. At first glance, this may seem like just another healing done by Christ, much like when he had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, why did God include this account in his word? God, through Mark, is building a narrative account of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What we have is Mark adding another brick, another layer to the narrative. This passage accomplishes a number of things that the previous portion of Scripture had accomplished. For example, that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had compassion for his creation. But as we hopefully will see, there are more layers here as well that are being added to the narrative. There is an allegory in this passage that I hope will become clear as we go through it. We are going to be looking at this passage in three parts tonight: the leper's approach, Christ's response, and the leper's reaction. Before we go any further, we should ask God for help in understanding his word. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the account in Mark, how it talks about Jesus and all that he did and why he came. I just pray that you would enlighten us tonight, further our understanding, so that we can know more about you and that we can grow closer to you. We thank you again for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ was preaching in synagogues throughout Galilee when this leper approaches him and makes this statement on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. As we remember from last time, first century medicine, there was no effective means of diagnosis. It is quite possible that somebody who had been labeled as a leper might have had any number of dermatological or medical issues from rosacea, psoriasis, eczema, leprosy, or Hansen's disease as we know it today. Back then, they did not know that it was caused by a bacteria, as we know today. Hansen's disease affects the nerves, eventually causing them to work improperly. If left untreated, the damaged nerves no longer communicate pain to the brain, and damage done is irreversible. Now, pain is very important to us because it can warn us of potential danger and signal to us that damage to the body is being done. Just recently, at home, I was taking apart an old wheelbarrow. And the reason I was taking it apart was because one of the handles on it had broken. Now, in our relationship, Rebecca is really the handy one. When we got married, she brought the toolbox to our family. I think I might have had a screwdriver and a hammer, if that, and it was probably Brian's. But when it comes to taking things apart, I'm pretty good at that. So there was a bolt on this wheelbarrow handle that was not stripped, but the socket that it was in was too big. So when I tried to loosen it, it just spun in the socket. So I took a Dremel and I started cutting through the bolts. And as I started cutting through, unbeknownst to me, the bolt was heating up. So that when I had sheared through the bolt and reached down to pull the bolt out, it was superheated and burned me through the work glove that I was wearing. Now, had I been affected by Hansen's or had not been wearing the glove, I could have been seriously injured. The danger with leprosy is if it goes to the point where your brain is no longer receiving those pain stimuli, you don't know that you've been hurt. A lot of the damage that comes from leprosy is due to the fact that the body does not know that it has been injured. In certain circles, there is now debate as to whether leprosy in the Bible is the same as we recognize it today, Hansen's disease, usually by people who have too much time on their hands. The thing to understand is that it was a visible skin condition that, if contracted, made one unclean in the Jewish culture. In the time of Christ, there was little to no understanding of the cause of it. But it was very serious, and God addresses it in His Word. In Leviticus 13, in the course of 59 verses, Moses lays out how a person with leprosy was to be treated. In verse 45 and 46, it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." We look at the account of the physician in Luke 5:12, his account of our part of the passage. "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" The man, according to Luke, was full of leprosy. By Jewish custom, he would have been unclean and ostracized from society at large. Head shaved, clothes torn, crying, "Unclean, unclean." He approaches Christ on his knees, states, "Lord, if you are willing." He recognized who Christ was and that Christ could heal him. Christ could make him clean if Jesus desired to do it. When God saves us, one of the first parts or steps that we take is recognizing that we are sinners who cannot save ourselves. We recognize that Christ is the only one who can. And then we put our full trust in Him as Lord and Savior to save us. Leprosy and sin. In the time of Christ, leprosy would separate you from the larger society. Sin, then and now, separates us from God. They could not cure themselves of the leprosy any more than they could save themselves. We cannot save ourselves, only Christ can. The man recognized who Christ was and that Christ was the only one who could cleanse him. If there were no sin, there would be no need for salvation. Sin is pervasive and it is more serious than we give it credit for. Just as leprosy can invade and affect all areas of the body if left untreated, sin can fester in our lives and, if left untreated, infiltrate all aspects of it. Lord, if you are willing. And I love Christ's response. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Mark is the only account of this interaction that talks about Christ being moved with compassion. Again, in that day and age, they did not understand the affliction or how it could be transmitted. But that aside, if someone was unclean, you did not touch them, or you too would become unclean. Leviticus 5:3 says, "Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty." Christ reaches out, much like he did with Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and touches this man full of leprosy. "I am willing, be cleansed." The man was full of leprosy, more than likely covered head to toe with it. As soon as Christ says it, touches him, immediately, which I'm convinced is Mark's favorite word, immediately the leprosy was gone and he was clean. And Christ was not defiled. No matter what the sin is in our lives that we have committed, when God saves us, it is removed as far as the east is from the west. If we truly put our full trust in Christ to save us, and he saves us, our sins are forgiven. We are still sinners. And after we are saved, if we sin, we are to confess that sin to God. It is forgiven, but that is not a license to sin. God hates sin. And if we belong to Him, we should hate sin as well and strive with the help of the Holy Spirit not to sin. The leprosy made the man unclean. Christ cleansed him. Our sins make us unclean. Christ is the only one who can cleanse them. In 1 John 1:7 through 9 it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The miracles of Christ demonstrate who he is. Mark uses this example of Christ healing a leper to demonstrate why he came. He came to save the elect, those who recognize who he is and who they are, and who put their full trust in him to save them. Christ has the power and the authority to save. Christ is willing to save. Are we willing to recognize who he is and to put our full trust in him? It means more than just praying a prayer or holding your mouth right. Putting your full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ means committing our lives in service to him for his honor and glory. It means recognizing and living under his sovereign authority, a life that is pleasing to him. It means submitting fully to God every aspect of our lives. That is a hard cross to bear, even with the Holy Spirit as a helper and a guide. But believe me when I say this, the benefits far outweigh the burdens. One day, Christ will return. Christ cleanses the leper, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Jesus had seen the response when he had cast out the demon in the synagogue and healed people. The whole city of Capernaum had gathered at the door of Peter's house, bringing to Jesus all of the sick and demon-possessed to be healed. While he was willing to heal those who sought him, at the same time, it prevented him from doing the ministry he had been sent here to do, training up his disciples and spreading the good news. So Christ tells this man he has cleansed to say nothing to anyone, but to present himself to the priest in keeping with the Old Testament law outlined in Leviticus as a testimony to the priests. The man, even though he had been cleansed, was technically still ceremonially unclean until he had been examined and declared clean by a priest. When the priest examined the man and accepted his offering, it would be a public affirmation of the cure and the cleansing. Christ heals him, tells him to tell no one, but to present himself to the priest with his offering so that he can be declared clean. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Jesus had cured him of his leprosy, not something that happened instantly to anyone unless they came across the Son of God. Christ gives him a simple command. Don't tell anyone. Go to the priest with an offering for your cleansing. Now we can speculate. Maybe the guy was overwhelmed. He simply couldn't keep it to himself. Regardless of the reason, however, he disobeyed Jesus. Word got around, and again, people came, so much so that Jesus could no longer enter the city without being mobbed. So Jesus went outside of the city, out to the deserted places where Luke says he spent time praying. And even there, people came to him from every direction. In sticking with the allegory we've been examining tonight, it would be akin to one of us professing faith in God, God saving us, and we stumble out of the gate in our new walk as a Christian. Oftentimes, when we are young in the faith, we fall because we are not mature enough yet not to. We must not make the mistake, though, of thinking that we are saved and that is where the story ends. I can coast now into eternity. No, as a newly minted Christian, and even as one who's been saved for more than 30 or 40 years, we must not fall into that fallacy. We need to strive to obey God. The Bible tells us that we are to read the Bible, we are to pray to God, we are to treat our brothers and sisters with love and respect, we are to have a relationship with God, we are to grow, we are to hate sin in our lives and do our best with the help of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God not to sin. Pastor Don has told me stories about other pastors who would go out and ask people to repeat a simple prayer with them. And in the middle, they would say, "I am a sinner, please save me." And when the prayer was ended, the pastor would say, "Good, now you're saved. Find a Bible preaching church and God be with you." And they would go off and put another notch in their Bible. Saved another one for God. But we know better. Those people are no more saved than the bottom of my left shoe. It takes more than that to be saved. Those people were not saved. God is the only one who can save. In order to be saved, we have to put our trust in Christ, and God saves us. And when God saves us, it changes us. If we truly submit to Him, we should be so overwhelmed with a desire to serve Him, to learn about Him, to grow, and to love Him. It should be evident in who we are and who God is molding us into being. We are to grow into the Christians that He wants us to be. That is a change. That is renewing. That is the rebirth of becoming a child of God. And it is a journey that will become a destination when Christ returns. Christ is willing. Are we? How do we apply this? If you are here tonight and you are not saved, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not have a relationship with God, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, you do not have to be. If you recognize that you are a sinner and that Christ is the only one who can save you, I would ask that you come and talk to us. We would be more than happy to share with you how you too can have salvation and the assurance of that salvation. If you are here tonight and you are saved, then I have a simple question. brother or sister, how is your walk? Are we living a life that is dedicated to God? As incredible as it sounds, we need these reminders as believers, lest we forget what Christ has done for us. Are we working hard to root out the sin in our lives? Or are we coasting? If we are coasting in our walk, let's reconnect with God. Confess the sin in our lives and pray that He helps us not to do it again. No matter what we are facing, sin is the biggest problem that we have. And yet, as serious as it is, most people do not take it seriously. Our sins are forgiven, yet that does not mean that we can let down our guard and stop being vigilant for the sin that is present in our lives. We are not to just shrug our shoulders and say, well, God will take care of it. God has taken care of it. But we need to make sure that we are vigilant, confessing our sin, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, striving as hard as we can each and every day not to sin. God hates sin, and because we love God, we should hate sin as well. It is not easy, but nothing worthwhile ever is. What we do now here on this earth as believers has an eternal impact. Our lives can please God if we obey Him, if we strive not to sin. Christ is willing to use us. Are we willing to let Him? Let us pray. Father God, I thank You for this reminder to some and this call to others. Help us to recognize that Christ is the Son of God, the one You sent to save us from our sins. Help any unbelief tonight. Help those with questions to seek answers. Help us to be the Christians that You would have us to be. Help us to love one another. Help us to obey You. Help us to strive against the sin that is present in our lives. We will give You all the honor and glory. We love You and praise You. In Christ's precious name, amen.